This is the Financial Side of Life podcast, episode 13.
Welcome to the Financial Side of Life podcast. Our mission, to empower you with smart financial strategies and show that it's possible to get a college education, save, invest, retire, or do whatever makes sense to help you live your best life. We'll meet amazing people and professionals who will share stories about how they do it, and together we hope to bring a little sanity to your complex financial life. And now, here is your host, certified financial planner pro and founder of Avea Financial Planning, Angie Ferbot-LaRossi.
Hey everybody, Angie Ferbot-LaRossi here, certified financial planner pro with Avea Financial Planning, where we specialize in financial planning for college-bound families. Today, my guest is Robin Henley. She's a public health nurse with Benton Franklin Health District and a member of the Seroptimist International of Pasco and Kennewick. And I'd like to welcome Robin. Welcome to our program today.
Thank you.
So Robin, I'd like to start by asking if you can just tell us a little bit more about your own college experience, your own experience or that of any of your family. You know, just tell us about your story.
So I started college when I was 21. I had two little kids, and I decided that I needed to go to school so I could provide a better life for them.
Okay.
I got about three quarters. I just went to a community college here in town.
Okay.
I got about three quarters done. I was going for social work, and my mom got very ill. And long story short, a bunch of things happened, and I decided that, well, I didn't really decide. Life happened, and I needed to take care of my mom. So college got put on hold. And when my son, my youngest son, it was probably about 6 or 7 years later, I decided that I was ready to go back. And so I did. I went back really part-time. And at that point, I had changed and decided that I really wanted to be a nurse.
Okay.
That social work, as much as I loved it, just wouldn't be sustainable for myself and my family.
Okay.
So I went and started out with the all the prereqs. I pretty much had to start over.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. There was only a few of my classes that would really transfer. And because I only had three quarters done, it wasn't like I had a whole bunch.
Were you going back to, was it CBC?
I did go back to CBC, yeah,
okay.
With the intention of going into their nursing program. And so I just kind of went through all of the classes that were necessary. Going part-time there, I worked full-time, had a family. And so I went really part-time. It took me probably 3, maybe 4 years to finish up the 2 years worth of classes that needed to be completed, which
sure,
was fine.
Sure.
Applied for the nursing program, got accepted, and then found out that I was expecting a baby, which was a big surprise. And so I thought, well, I'll just go and it will be fine. And, you know, I'm just going to go and get this done. But by, I don't know, 6 or 7 months pregnant, I decided there was no way I could leave this child. And so school got put on hold again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always knew I would go back. I just didn't know when. Well, when she was four, my youngest was four, I decided it was time to start applying. And at that point, you know, 4 years had passed and my vision of nursing was still there, but I wanted a bachelor's degree. I didn't want to just settle for the ADN or the AA degree in nursing.
Okay.
So I started looking at WSU as well because we had the local program here and hearing how hard it was to get into and worry. So I thought, well, I really don't want to go back till she's five and in kindergarten, right? But I'll start applying now, figuring I would get not accepted those first couple of times. It had been so long since I'd been in school. And I got accepted right away, which
okay,
was wonderful.
Awesome.
Had a couple of classes that I needed to pick up, so I grabbed those at CBC really quickly over the summer and started the nursing program at WSU Tri-Cities in 2009. Graduated in 2011 and went right to work. Have been working mm-hmm. ever since. Came out and did just a little stint in OB nursing. Found out that wasn't the path for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then did some more clinical nursing for a while. And then really my true love was public health. And so as soon as the position came up with Health District, moved there. And I always knew I would go back for my master's. I just wasn't sure when. And, you know, you just get a whim. And I decided it's time. And so I started back in a master's program in August of this year.
Mm, so real recent.
Real recent, yeah.
Okay. So you said it was a whim, but I'm thinking there's some deeper thought that went into deciding to pursue that master's degree. So was there any reason, a compelling reason?
Well, I always knew, like I said, I would go back. I mean, I that was one of the reasons that steered me to go to WSU and get that bachelor's degree, because I knew I wanted to go on for the advanced degree. Getting the bachelor's degree, going to college with a family, and you know, I had ailing parents and taking care of them, it was a rough couple of years, a lot of stress. And so Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to go on, but life had to settle. My parents have passed. My kids have grown and moved out of the house. I'm down to just one child, and I think now is just the right time.
Yeah.
Things are settled. I had some free time on my hands, and I don't do well with free time. I'm a pretty busy, active person. And I had a friend who was going back for her master's, and I thought, well, you can't go to school alone, so I'll join you.
Well, there you go.
And that's kind of just like, I started looking into it, and a couple of weeks later, I said, okay, I'm doing it. Sign me up. It's just, you know. It's now or never, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Get it done. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, looking back at that entire career or college path, mm-hmm. you know, the focus of this podcast is on the funding of college and trying to help people understand ways that they could pay for college or ways that they can get through college without acquiring a ton of student loan debt. That's ultimately the goal. Would you mind elaborating a little bit? How did you fund your undergrad career, college path? And then now that you're transitioning into even more school, what are your plans? How are you going to tackle that now?
Sure. So my initial, when I first started, way back when I first started going for social work, I qualified, a young single mom, so I qualified for some financial aid programs mm-hmm. And was able to do it that way for those first few months. When I went back and had switched for that nursing path, I was able to pay for it myself. Doing community college is so much less expensive to get those first couple of years out of the way.
Right. So you just paid out of pocket?
I just paid out of pocket.
Okay.
I worked and my husband worked, and we were able to just pay. And then again, going very part-time, mm-hmm. That was helpful too. It stretched it out,
sure.
And in the end, it cost the same, probably more, but it was easier to pay up front, just out of pocket. Mm-hmm. We just kind of budgeted it in, and, you know, mm-hmm. this is just one of those expenses that we had to do.
Right.
And my husband, fortunately, was very supportive, and it was just, we just paid cash.
Right.
I knew if I went to CBC's nursing program and just got that two-year degree, I could pay for it out of pocket. I knew if I chose WSU, that four-year degree in that university school, that I would not be able to pay it out of pocket, and I would have to take loans. Mm-hmm. But I was able to pay for some up front and then supplement with loans. When I graduated from WSU, I had just over $20,000 in loans, which is a lot, but not as much as it could have been mm-hmm. had it, you know, have taken the 4 years. And my plan was to repay them within 5 to 10 years. And my father, for my graduation present, said, "Your loans are paid." Which was wonderful.
Oh, awesome.
But we had budgeted in to pay and try to pay them off as early as we could.
Okay.
That was our initial plan, was to take mm-hmm. that $20,000 and just pay everything to it as fast as we could. No new cars, no new anything until that was paid. And, mm-hmm. you know, my wonderful father mm-hmm. said, "I don't want you to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So glad you graduated." First one in my family to even go to college. So
oh, wow.
There was a lot of, you know, pride on my father's part.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Awesome story. Great. Well, that definitely helped. And then how about now with going on to grad school?
So now going on to grad school, I chose an all-online school, so the cost is significantly less.
Okay.
That was key in my planning. Plus being online, I still work and I still have a family, even though I'm down to only one child at home, I still have one.
Right.
So cost was significantly less doing it online because there's no brick and mortar to pay for, right?
Yeah.
Making it much more feasible to, again, pay out of pocket. Mm-hmm. But I also applied for some scholarships. And it's incredible, the scholarships that are out there. And mm-hmm. so I was able to receive two scholarships right off the bat. I've applied for a couple more. I haven't heard on those. That significantly reduces the amount.
Yeah.
And then the school I chose, you can work at your own pace. So when you finish your first semester, you can continue on, and you pay via the semester. So you pay one chunk for 6 months, and however many classes you can get done in that 6 months, it's that same fee, which was another key for me in doing it that way, because mm-hmm. now that I have the original bachelor's degree, I have the clinical experience, I have all of this stuff, I just want to get that master's degree and get that extra education.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pretty pretty devoted student. I don't procrastinate. Mm-hmm. I finished two classes in the first 3 weeks, finished my second class just a couple of weeks later, but I had to have a surgery in between there, so took a couple weeks off for that. I'm in my fourth class now. My first semester doesn't until the end of January, mm-hmm. and I'm almost done with my fourth class, which is the entire semester, so I'll be able to start on semester number two without paying another dime until January comes around.
Awesome.
So, which was another key motivator in choosing that program and keeping finances down.
And what program is that?
So it's through WGU.
Okay.
Western Governors
Terrific.
University.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I've heard about it. I mm-hmm. don't know much about it, but I've definitely heard about it. Excellent. So you would recommend that for somebody who's A, trying to cut costs, B, is very motivated and can get the work done quickly?
Yeah. You have to be very motivated. Mm-hmm. You have to be an independent learner. Mm-hmm. There are tremendous resources available if you are struggling, but you have to be the one mm-hmm. making yourself do it. There's no time commitments. You have 6 months to do 4 classes. And, you know, you set up goals every week with your student mentor, but if you don't reach them, there's no one really to hold you accountable but you.
Sure.
And so you really have to be that independent and driven person to do it. They have bachelor's programs as well as master's programs. Okay. And I really had to consider, I graduated magna cum laude, and grades were a huge thing for me because I knew I wanted to go on, and getting into a master's program mm. is really challenging if you don't yes. have the GPA to get you into those programs.
Right.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to go on for a DNP, Doctorate of Nursing Practice.
Okay.
And I'm still not sure. Sometimes I think I do, sometimes I think I don't. And that was a big issue with going to WGU because it's a competency-based program. And so you graduate with about a 3.0 GPA overall. Everybody, that's it's pass-fail. And okay. if you pass, it's equivalent to a 3.0, which will not be mm. very helpful in getting me into a program if I want to go into a DNP. But I thought cost-wise, at this point in my life where I'm at, I don't want to take on debt. That mm-hmm. is not the goal. And I'm not sure that's what I want to do. And there are programs out there I could get into. It just will narrow that scope of what's sure. available for me. But it was, again, I look at everything, you know, risk versus benefit.
Right.
And the risk of taking on debt at this age of my life mm-hmm. is not something I wanted to do. And so that's why I chose that program. And I've been completely amazed with it so far. So, yeah, very
excellent.
Happy with it.
Okay. So you said you had applied for some scholarships. Mm-hmm. Where did you find them, or how did you find them?
So I did some Googling online, okay. for sure. Some of them are through WGU. I applied for one and received one through WGU. They have a great link to scholarships. And when you're thinking about applying and enrolling, you get an enrollment counselor. And he was tremendous in saying, there's these scholarships I think you might be interested in. They're a four-year program. You know, go ahead and check into them. So that was one route. The other one was through my husband's work. He's part of the VPPPA, I don't know what that stands for, okay. Vocational Safety, essentially. It's kind of a vocational safety group, and they do a national scholarship every year, and mm-hmm. it's available for family members, whether they're spouses, whether they're students, or children. So he brought it home and said, here, you might want to apply, and I said, okay, and I was awarded, so yay. It was wonderful.
Awesome.
The other two I've applied for are through WGU, and then there's a host of links on the WGU website as well as just Googling, because I don't have a counselor right on hand, mm-hmm, but they mm-hmm. do have available as well through WGU, all of that. And so it was just a matter of me taking the time to do some research and looking to see what was out there and seeing when they were due, and being a nurse and being a member of the American Nurse Association and the Washington State Nurse Association, mm-hmm. they have scholarships as well.
Right.
Those ones I haven't applied for yet, only because the deadline's not till next year, mm-hmm. so spring of next year, so I have some time, but I will apply.
They're
for
on
those.
Your radar.
They are on my radar.
You're gonna.
Absolutely. The mm-hmm. more scholarships that I can apply for, the less money that I have to pay out of pocket.
Right.
And you know, the less debt potentially. I mean, I haven't had to take in any debt so far, but mm-hmm. that's partly because of being able to qualify and be awarded those scholarships.
Right.
So,
what kind of totals of scholarship money are you talking about? Are they like $500 scholarships, $1,000 or bigger?
So the WGU one I was awarded is $2,000. It's mm-hmm. split up over the 4 semesters, so $500 per semester.
Mm-hmm.
And the VPP one was $2,500 all at once. Here you go. So almost paid.
Those are significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugely in the cost when you look at it. Tuition at WGU runs about $3,600 a semester. So my mm-hmm. first semester was almost entirely paid for.
Wow.
Which is great. And then I've already applied for more and we'll continue that process. So, yeah. And if I need to pay, you know, some out of my pocket, then that's what we'll do. But mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, the more that you can reduce that. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the American Opportunity Tax Credit?
Yep.
Are you able
and
to take advantage of that?
I don't know this year because I took advantage of it during my undergrad years. So I don't know how many. I know that there's
maybe a four-year limit? I'm not sure.
Maybe. I'm not sure what it is. So I'm sure it'll, you know, when we do our taxes, we'll look into it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Just to be aware of it mm-hmm. anyhow.
Absolutely.
And in order to be eligible for that as well, I do know that you have to spend, I think it's $4,000 out of pocket in order to get the,
sure,
the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would just, you know, make sure you double check when you do your taxes that that's at least addressed.
Okay.
And rule it out. If
Thank
if
you.
So you have children, mm-hmm. and you've had a variety of experiences with them with regard to college as well. Can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about that?
So my oldest child decided to go to college. He probably started when he was about 21.
Mm-hmm.
Took a few years off after high school. Didn't know what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he actually went to a trade program, but through this community college here in town. Went to the machine technology program and got his AA in that, and immediately got a job and has been working ever since and loves what he does and is doing mm-hmm. wonderfully. Our oldest daughter did not go to college. She has a couple of children and works here in town.
Mm-hmm.
The next one also did not go to college, wanted to be a welder, and I think last we knew was kind of working towards that. He doesn't live with us. He lives on his own.
Sure.
The next one, the fourth one, went to college and wanted to be a math teacher, wasn't successful in his calculus class, and dropped out of college, and now is looking into joining a trade.
Okay. And so in preparation for these kids as they were growing up, were there things that you as the parents did in order to either save for college or just start to understand, you know, options, things that you should be thinking about as a family in preparation for these kids to go to? Because that's five kids in total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, you know, theoretically, had they all gone to college, you're talking, who knows, $500,000
mm-hmm.
or
absolutely.
Some kind of crazy bill like that for tuition and everything else. You know, as a family, did you do any pre-planning, thinking, strategizing, anything going on?
So our philosophy with all of them was always, you have to pay for your own tuition,
okay.
and we will pay for everything else. Living mm-hmm. expenses, books, travel, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you need, we will take care of that. You pay tuition because we wanted them to have that investment in it. Too often, too many children, when everything is paid for, are not successful
right.
and end up dropping out, and it's a big waste of money. And I will tell you, with the one that did do the machine technology program, it was incredible. He was not a great student in high school. Did
really?
Not put forth a lot of effort. And when he had to pay for his tuition, he had to work to pay for his tuition. He only had to work part-time, but he had to work,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, is an investment as well. You have to work and put in all that time to earn that money, and then you have to watch it go away to pay for school in order to have a better life. There's a learning process in that, and we really wanted them to have that investment in their own education and that drive to really do good and not just go to college and just barely get by, but to do well because
right.
you're funding it
right.
and we'll fund everything else because we definitely wanted them to go and wanted to support that process. But and we have that same philosophy. We've had that with all of them, and I have a 12-year-old at home
mm-hmm.
and she knows that mm-hmm. that is the way that it works. You pay for tuition and we will pay for everything else. And she's 12, but she's amazing, and she has plans already. I mean, her goal from, I couldn't even tell you when, from as far back as I know, she wants to be a geologist from the time she was little.
Mm-hmm.
She's a rock fanatic and wants to be a geologist. She wants to go to Running Start. She's got it mapped out. She's going to do Running Start at Hamford, and then she's going to go on to UW. I mean, she has a plan, and
that plan has
not wavered, which, you know, she's 12. I thought, it'll waver. Well, it has not wavered. And she says, I'm not going to be like my siblings. I'm going to go to college. You know, so, and I truly believe she will. She's the one that... you know, she has the vision, she has the dream, and she will do that. And she knows. But she wants to live at home to save costs, and it's perfect.
So you must have included her in your conversations. I'm just thinking
always.
She sounds like somebody, like in my house, we talk about this stuff a lot
mm-hmm.
too, but she sounds like she's picked up things.
Absolutely.
You know, from mom and dad talking to each other, mom and dad talking to her. So she must be included. You must talk about these things at home.
All the time.
It's not a secret.
No, all the time. And having the older kids, having watched me go through school for so long,
mm-hmm.
she was 4 when I went full on,
mm-hmm.
and she remembers some of it,
mm-hmm.
and she remembers she didn't see mom a lot, but she doesn't remember a whole lot like the older kids do. There's a 10-year gap between her and her next sibling. They remember it vividly, watching the struggle of going to school and taking care of parents and having kids and doing all of these different things. And I always tell them, I don't want that for you. I want you to go before you have children. And that is a mantra in our house. Go to school, finish it before you do anything else. Get done mm-hmm. as soon as you can. And whether it's school or trade school or whatever, find a path and
mm-hmm.
follow that path
mm-hmm.
and fully finish it, and then go on with the rest of your life, because
mm-hmm.
that's how you set up for that successful life. And the older ones, I think that a couple of them will go later in life.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe they
mm-hmm.
will, because they will. And then there's one that I think probably will never make it back to school and just... And
find a different path.
And find a different path,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. But I truly believe she will be the one that just follows the right trajectory all the way along, and just, you know, she has too many goals in life and too many things already set up, you know.
Well, so often, you know, this topic, college, is not only centered on money, but the discussions around money in general can be so taboo in households. And so, you know, to have her included in those conversations, I think, is a real plus. And it's such a blessing, really, to her, because she's learning as she's being involved in your conversations. She has a sense of the fact that, oh, maybe I want to go to a junior college or community college to help save on costs, you know. Mm-hmm. So she's really sounds very wise beyond her 12 years.
She is. And we've always had a policy with money and allowance. We've always given the kids an allowance because they need to have money to learn how to use it. Mm-hmm. But we've never given it to them. We give them allowance because that's a process and a part of learning, but you have to save 25% of your allowance every week, no matter what. And that money just goes bye-bye into the bank account, and we don't pull it out for any reason. It's gone. It's just literally gone. Mm-hmm. And when you're, you know, off in school and you need money at that point, then you can, that's what it's for, right? Mm-hmm. And they save that themselves. And I don't pay for work around the house because that's a part of living here. So they have to do extra work and things to earn extra money.
Right.
Extra work that's not the ordinary, regular, you know, household chores.
Right. Yeah.
And then when we travel, which is one of our favorite things to do, they have to save up money and do extra work to earn money to buy souvenirs and things like that. Because if we don't, I believe, if I don't give them the opportunity to handle money and use money and watch how fast it disappears, right? Mm-hmm. And then also save some, and it goes bye-bye forever. They're never going to learn that. Like, my father was adamant with me as a young child. That was that same practice in my youth growing up, and it really taught me to save money and the value of saving money and holding on to it.
And having it, and what it allows you to do versus what not having it
absolutely
might do for your lifestyle and your dreams and goals.
Absolutely.
With your kids, you had that philosophy of, you know, wanting them to participate in the funding of their college. Would you say that any of that philosophy had something to do with a couple of kids who didn't go through college? Or was college just not a good fit for them at the time? They had different goals?
The daughter that didn't go through, my stepdaughter that didn't go through college, she ended up pregnant as a teenager. And so her life course completely took a different path. She actually was signed up and already had all of her paperwork done. She actually had her date to go off into the Navy, and then she found out she was expecting a baby at 17. Mm-hmm. And life took a completely different course for her.
Sure.
So I think she'll go back to school. I think she'll go to school one day when the kids get a little bit older, because she's very intelligent and she has dreams. So I think she will achieve those one day. The other one that never made it down the college path really always struggled in school. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that he ever even had a vision of going. He just, school was not for him.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of always his philosophy.
Yeah.
So.
And that happens, you know, and it's just how it is. School is, you know, college is not always the way for all kids, for sure. So is that when he has a different life path? Is he doing other further education to further his career, or?
Nope.
Not right now?
He's just kind of floundering.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he'll find his way at some point, I imagine.
That's my hope.
Yeah. you're part of the Soroptimist International, Kennewick and Pasco, of Kennewick and Pasco. Is that right?
Soroptimist International of Kennewick. Well, it's SIA, so Soroptimist International of the Americas, and then our group is SIA of Pasco and Kennewick.
Okay. And I learned about some programs that you help out with there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the KEY program, one of my keys, I'm actually chair of our committee. It's a joint committee between Soroptimist International Pasco Kennewick and Soroptimist International of Three Rivers, which is our other local club here in town. Mm-hmm. We together do a joint committee called Dream It Be It. And it's really a career support and development program for girls in secondary school, so high school, to help them identify some goals for their future, to help them identify some of their internal characteristics so that they can be paired up with some potential careers that would be good fits for them.
Okay.
To really be some mentors, some career support mentorships. So we bring in other women that are successful and pair them up with the girls. We've done this program a couple of times now, and we had some girls who really wanted to go into the dental hygiene field. And so we called up on some dental hygienists and had them come and really just elaborate on how they got there. So we pair these girls up with mentors in the career world. We open the door to resources for them, let them know what resources are out there that are local, help them really to identify a path to achieving their goal, to whatever their dreams, identifying their dreams, and then to find a path to achieve that dream and become it. So dream it, be it.
And how are you hosting, like, workshops or seminars? Or are you going to the schools? How are kids finding out about this?
So we've done it within a school twice now, and we're actually going to branch out. We'll have our first one-day full-on seminar, not really seminar, but really it's so hands-on. Mm-hmm. But our one-day, we'll call it a one-day conference, March 10th.
Okay.
And we'll have that. We're going to hold it at Tri-Tech, which is a trade school, but yes. We chose Tri-Tech because kids from all over all three cities come to Tri-Tech.
Okay.
And we don't want there to be any, oh, that's a Richland thing, or that's a Kennewick thing. It is open to all girls throughout our community. Mm-hmm. We do have an age limit. It's really a program targeted at that secondary school aged group, so 14 to 18. Mm-hmm. But we really want to pull in some of our eighth graders. So we're really looking at targeting our eighth and ninth graders. Mm-hmm. If we get a couple of older girls, we're okay with that. But we really want them at that younger age where they maybe don't know that college or mm-hmm. trade school or career is possible. Maybe they don't have that vision, they haven't thought of it, to help them get those wheels spinning and get them thinking about the future that is to come. So
excellent. And there's some scholarships that are kind of associated with this, is that right?
There are. So Soroptimus International has Live Your Dream Scholarship, which is for women. So Soroptimus means best for women. So everything we do is really to support and build up, empower women and girls. The Live Your Dream Scholarships, there's a couple of different ones that fall under that, but the Live Your Dream Scholarship is really a scholarship that women can apply for, whether they're going into trade school, whether they're going into college, whether they just need supportive services to enable them to attend college or trade school, they can apply for those. The deadline for application for those is typically in November of each year.
Okay, and we'll try to have some resources, some links on our show notes that will point to that information as well. Because that sounds really, really perfect for some kids in our community. Mm-hmm. Do they need to live in our area, or is it kind of targeted to this part of Washington? Or
so, Soroptimus International is literally that. They're a global organization, and there are clubs all over the country. We have two locally in our area, and mm-hmm. we both offer the scholarships. So each Soroptimus club has the Live Your Dream program and offers it. So it's really kind of around the country.
Throughout the country,
The numbers vary year by year. This year, I know we have about 16,000 to divvy up between our recipients, is what we have to give this year. Mm-hmm. And we usually break that up into 3 to 6 people is what it kind of boils down to.
Okay. So they can for be our local area.
Our club alone. So we work all year to raise money so that we have money for these scholarships then to give out. Because that's really our goal, is to raise a lot of money so that we can give it away and help other women reach their dreams.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll definitely find out more information about that and put that on our show notes. So, Robin, I would say as we wrap up our conversation today, we've talked a lot about your own experiences and that of your kids and the club that you're a part of. What do you think would be your key piece of advice to an aspiring college student? And maybe even think, you know, advice towards one that's taking the leap to go on and get an advanced degree like you're doing. What would be your key advice?
I would say to always persevere. Always set a goal and reach for it. And it will be hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of times, I'll be completely honest, in that undergrad 2 years that I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
Because life throws curveballs at you, especially going back to school as an adult. And the thought would cross my mind, and then I would come right back and say, snap out of it. This is your dream. And the only way to get to that dream is to go on and to get college done as soon as you can. I mean, don't take the year off. Don't take the break. It, you know, odds wise, go straight on. Mm-hmm. Go straight on. Finish up. If you can do a Running Start program, cost wise, the dollars that are saved and the dollars that you can earn in the long run because you're out of school 2 years earlier is huge. That financial potential there. And then just being on with your life and your career 2 years younger than the rest of your peers is huge. Going on for a master's, why would you stop, right? The income potential that you gain from going on for that advanced degree. And for me, it's not even about the income potential. For me, it's about the, I want to do it. I want to get that degree. Like, and I think I'll be satisfied with that, but I'm not sure at this point that I will be satisfied with that. You know, I'm not sure yet. I need those little letters behind my name to not necessarily to feel accomplished, but I want that accomplishment for myself. Mm-hmm. And I would say to just never give up on that, no matter what happens, because life does, like I said, throw curveballs. You just got to persevere.
Yeah. Great advice. Mm. Excellent. Thank you. So thank you so much for coming by and talking with us today and sharing your stories. There's so much to consider when, you know, looking at your own life and taking those curveballs head on and persevering, keeping on. So thank you. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank Robin for stopping by the podcast booth and sharing her story with us today. And thank you for listening to today's program. Be sure to check over the show notes for details from our conversation. If you've enjoyed our discussion today, I invite you to listen again and subscribe to our podcast at aveafp.com. That's www.aveafplikefinancialplanning.com. Leave a review for our program, and thank you again for tuning in.